Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIEM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
We head out to the Technicom hotline and we talk to the general manager, president of basketball operations of your Charlotte Hornets. He was a busy man. I'm not sure how much sleep he got last night. Mitch Kupchak is back with us on the Technicom hotline. Mitch, we appreciate your time, man. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, it's good to have you. I know you're busy. We appreciate you doing this and talking a bit about last night. I guess I would start here. You know, we knew that the three guys off the board last night, 1, 2, 3, would go in some order in that way. Was LaMelo Ball what you were expecting? I mean, was it just an issue? Or was it a plan where you just stuck to what you thought you needed to do going into it? How did everything come to be last night in the first round?
Well, we considered other players, you know, in the process, you know, over the last whatever we had, right? It's been 7 months, really, since March. You know, the draft was supposed to be in June, and you know, here it is November 18th. So, you know, there was a lot of discussion, and then at the end of the day, it ended up being, you know, the three players that were drafted, 1, 2, 3. Quite frankly, we felt that they were probably the best three prospects. You know, there were a couple of other guys, you know, that we did consider that we thought were close. So once we, you know, determined that they were, in our opinion, the top three, you know, we knew we were going to get one of them, obviously, right? We're drafting three. Did we know who we were going to get? No. You know, in this business, you know, all the GMs are very, it's a poker game, you know, and I talked to both of them about moving up, and you try to get information, but yeah, everybody's really smart. You know, they're good poker players. And up until really yesterday afternoon, you know, didn't have a great feel for who Minnesota would take at one and who Golden State would take at two. We did, you know, get some confirmation late in the afternoon. You know, information comes in, you have sources, and, you know, just things, you know, help you, you know, put together the picture. But then Klay Thompson, right, got hurt, and we don't know the extent of the injury, but you know, I hope it's not serious. But then all of a sudden you start to say, well, you know, here's something coming out of the blue. Does that change, you know, the draft? And apparently it didn't. So you know, that's kind of how it played out, and we're very happy, you know, to have selected Melo at number three. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but we feel, you know, with seasoning and work and putting the time in, you know, he has a chance to be a heck of a player.
So with that in mind, I'm hesitant to use the phrase draft stock. I don't even know what it means half the time anymore. But, you know, I read a lot about how last year at this time, LaMelo's draft stock wasn't nearly as high as it is now. You and I have talked in the past about your trips overseas to scout players internationally, and I'm sure this was a part of it. For you individually, you know, as you scouted and evaluated LaMelo over the course of the last, let's say, 8 to 12 months, was there a pivotal moment? Was there a game? Was there a trip that might have elevated your opinion of LaMelo or convinced you that he's someone you can mold into a special player?
Well, actually, I did go see him play. And I think as most of the listeners know who follow the sport, you know, he played last year in Australia. Mm-hmm. And our feeling was that, you know, if he played really well, you know, or if he got hurt, you know, then he might not finish the season in Australia. So, you know, we decided to go early. We went, you know, in mid, you know, to late November, you know, Charlotte to Australia. And I did see him practice three times, and I saw him play two games. And that was the first, you know, in person, you know, look at him. Now, living in Los Angeles, and my son played basketball, I used to go to AAU games, so I did see him like 10 years ago, or, you know, when he was like 8 or 9 years old. which I don't think was a factor, right? I saw him for about 4 days in Australia, 2 games. You know, we had a quick hello. It's against the rules to talk. Met with the coaches there and the GMs there and, you know, tried to get as much information as possible. So, and then lo and behold, he did hurt his foot like 3 weeks later and ended up leaving Australia and going back to the States. So, you know, the timing was right. We got lucky. We got to see him. And that was, you know, a huge factor because we didn't just have to rely on film.
Mitch, Matt Daugherty, congratulations on a good draft, in my view. A lot of people talk about things that players can't do, and one of the glaring topics is LaMelo's jump shot. Obviously, his elbows fly. What will you do to address that? Have you talked to him about it? Is there a coach assigned to try to work on that, or do you let him come in with that form and, you know, adjust accordingly?
Yeah, Matt, that's always been, you know, a question mark. Actually, with his older brother also, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was drafted by the Lakers and was traded to New Orleans. And, you know, he went through an overhaul of his shot, I think, a year ago. And he actually shot the ball pretty well in New Orleans this year. Yes, that was a concern. Last week in Los Angeles, they did have a workout where we went to, and they also invited Golden State, and I think Detroit was there too. And it was just a 1-on-0 workout. But for me, because I did see him in November, the one thing I wanted to see him do in L.A. last week was shoot the ball. You know, I needed to be convinced, you know, that he could, at minimum, make open shots. Now, I don't know if, you know, he's going to be able to put the ball down and then pull up, you know, go get a shot is the expression, right, in basketball. Mm-hmm. Put it down and go get a shot. But if you cannot make open shots, you know, then that really handicaps your ability, you know, as a ball-handling guard or as a player in our league. You know, now opponents don't have to guard you. You know, they could take two or three steps off you, and then, no, that's a problem. So, he can make open shots. He shot the ball for an hour, and the ball, you know, it's not the prettiest thing. His left hand, you know, his left elbow, like you said, goes out a little bit. But when the ball leaves his hand, it leaves his hand, you know, as it should, and he has great rotation, and he shoots the ball the same way every time. So I don't think that we would look to correct, you know, his shot. I think he's going to be able to make open shots. Whether he can put it down and pull up, you know, I don't know if he can do that, and I don't know if that's necessary for him to be successful.
Mitch Kupchak, Hornets GM, with us on the Technicom hotline. Mitch, we've got a couple minutes left here, so I'll try to move quickly. I love the Vernon Carey pick at 32. I was intrigued by him last week as we were having a discussion about his weight loss. Jay Billis talked about how productive he is in multiple areas last night. Why was Vernon Carey so attractive to you with the 32nd overall pick?
Well, Jay Billis would talk about, you know, how attractive he was, right? Of course he's going to do that.
Of course.
I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, that did make it a tougher pick for me. And, you know, Buzz and Michael being in the room, you know, Michael looked at me, you know, not lovingly, you know, when we made the pick. Okay, putting all that, you know, I do, my job is to get the best basketball team possible, right? So I try to look past that stuff. Yes, he did lose over 30 pounds, you know, and I thought he played heavy last year. I did see him play several times. I saw him practice, and he's got great hands. You know, he can make shots. You know, he can shoot threes. He has a great feel for the game. He's not, you know, learning, you know, the instincts of the game. He's got really good instincts. And the fact that he lost 30 pounds, he's a different player. So in the second round, you know, close to the first round, right, number 32, a young, developing big, you know, who we feel, you know, we're lucky to have on our roster.
There we go. We get talking to Mitch Kupchak with us on the Technicom hotline. Sorry, a bit of a technical glitch right there. Coach has one more for you.
Nick, Mitch, real quick, Nick Richards, someone that I felt as a sleeper in this draft. Your comments.
Another big, incredibly, ridiculously athletic. You know, runs the floor like a deer and can really get off the ground. He started playing the game late. He's from Jamaica, not Jamaica, New York, but Jamaica, the island, right? And he did not play basketball growing up. So he started playing 14 or 15. So I would put him into the late bloomer category. Great kid. You know, we did see him work out 2 weeks ago also. You know, and he could actually shoot the ball a little bit. I mean, shooting it in an open gym and then shooting it, you know, in a game in the NBA is a little bit different, but his form is good enough. And it may take a year or two, you know, for him, you know, to for us to figure out where he actually is. But he's a big kid and really athletic, and I think he's going to work hard.
Two things, Mitch. Grant Riller, the 56th overall pick. I looked down this morning at his career stats and realized that I called a game of his once upon a time his freshman year, and he scored 21 points off the bench in that game. And you know, he's a guy that can fill it up, and I realize he's probably a bit of a project being the 56th overall pick, but what attracted you to Grant Riller?
I think you described it pretty good. You know, he is a four-year guy, so you know his game is more advanced, you know, than maybe a 19-year-old player or a 20-year-old player. You know, we had him ranked higher on our board, for whatever that's worth, right? And, you know, the fact that he was available at 56, we're happy, okay, to get a guy like that. Now, we have to play with our roster. You know, we're hopeful that there's a G League season this year. And we'll go to camp, and then in camp, we'll evaluate, you know, all these guys. And, you know, maybe a couple of them go to the G League. And they can develop down there for a year. So I don't know if they'll all be on our roster this year, but they're talents. And worst case scenario, we get to look at him for a year, but he's an accomplished player, and we had him much higher on our draft board.
Love it. Hey, so with the final thing here, I know there have been a lot of rumors floating around. I know that you're a guy who, you know, you keep things pretty close to your vest, so I don't expect you to tell me what you have coming up here soon. But with free agency, and as Coach and I were talking about earlier, you got a bunch of guys in that backcourt. I mean, some might even call it a logjam. You got some money to spend, some cap space. I mean, how much better can you make this roster over the course of the next few weeks? Should we expect any more movement or a roster adjustment?
We don't know, okay? It's, you know, a period where, you know, it's very competitive with the teams. You know, fortunately, we're one of four or five teams that do have cap room. So we have the ability to go out and, you know, pay a player more than anybody else. But, you know, we don't want to make a mistake and pay the wrong player, you know, or overpay a player. So, you know, yes, we've targeted some players. And, you know, even today we're, you know, trying to get some stuff done. You know, we can't sign players. You know, we can talk to teams about trades. And then the free agent period starts, you know, in about a day or so. And then we're allowed to actually talk to free agents. But, you know, right now we could look to sign our rookies that we drafted last night and look to make trades. So the free agent period is coming. We're working on it. We're preparing. And I can't tell you what's going to happen because I don't know.
Understood. I like Matt, I like what you did last night. I love the players you brought into the organization, and it's been exciting to watch the last year and a half of what appears to be a great start to a rebuilding of that roster. Mitch, you're always gracious with your time and your insights, sir. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you guys. See you, Matt.